On Monday, August 8th, Tall Can Audio hits 1,000 episodes.
Wait, that's still on? Who could possibly still care?
And the gang is all here to celebrate.
It's euphoric. It's got to be close to nirvana. It's outstanding.
For the first time ever, Maddie, Michaela, Rob, and Matt are all live in studio together.
It's happening, you guys! It's happening! Oh, my God, guys! Oh, my God! I wish you all were here!
Is this likely to go well?
Just check my notes here. No!
At least it will make a lot of noise.
Boom. Here comes the boom.
1,000 pods and 1,000 pints.
I don't think I've ever been as proud in my entire life.
TCA 1000 drops Monday, August 8th, wherever you find low-quality podcasts.
Fuck, it's out of control. Shit.
Finally, we will get to the important stuff from NHL free agency. God's team in the NHL.
Nate Thompson revisited.
Yes. We can't get enough.
Hey,
how did the last show send neither winners nor losers?
Well, because that's what they were.
Yeah.
To me, what I'm thinking is happening here, and I'm fine if we don't touch on Daniel Alfredson.
Just walking.
Not one bit. We can just move away from that.
What is that, though?
It's a non-story.
Oh. It says Pierre Dorion, or?
No, says me.
There's a lot of people.
Says the guy in these pair of pants that feel a little tight right now.
That was odd, especially the timing, everything.
Yeah.
It's a small front office to begin with.
Well, hey, and that to me is what's worth noting here. What the fuck? Are you going to make Guy Boucher head coach and head scout now? Because apparently anybody who ever played for him, Nate Thompson, yeah. Right? You go, oof.
Who's left on the Zurich Tigers or whatever they are over there that can bring over?
Or the Drummondville Voltigeurs, right? Or the Tampa Bay Lightning. Anybody who's played for Guy Boucher, I'm hanging my shingle out right now. Ottawa Senators, hello.
Could you put your shingle away, please? Your shingles.
Shillelagh.
Oh, the seat of my stubby shillelagh.
So anyways...
Yeah. A couple of things to get to here. Why don't we hit the Jays before we get into the Leafs? Because at one point, and we'll wait, there's still a little time.
Yeah, there's the four-game stretch after their win against the Yankees. There's the four-game stretch against the team in baseball whose winning percentage is .675.
Yeah.
Best team in baseball, Houston Astros, four games to make it to the All-Star game.
I don't know how many out of the second wild card they are now, but luckily it's shit.
Well, Kate, I'm not sure about part. They won today.
Yes.
But it was 5, I believe.
Yeah.
Yesterday.
So if everybody else lost and they were to manage to win 4, maybe we could talk.
Then you know what? Roll 4 off. Just, you know what? You
against
just,
the Astros.
You just came off. You lost 5 in a row. Now you've now won 2. We need to ask you to roll off 4 straight against the Astros. Can you do that?
At the time that you said the Jays would be in a wild card spot by the All-Star break, I was less committal. I will not sit here and say, oh, they're fucking terrible.
I'm going to say that. Man, they're terrible.
At the time, believed they were not as bad as their April, and they were not as good as their May. This is what they are. They are inconsistent. They are not constructed to bring runners around other than smashing them 400 feet into the infield.
So my braggadocious statement of a month ago, whatever that was, prior to this Yankee series, they had not won a series.
Right.
And really the killer was you do that back-to-back, you see Chicago, you see Oakland,
yes.
And you roll into KC.
Seattle.
And if you don't make hay there, and they didn't win one of those series.
Okay, so they did win mine, Seattle. And then they went on the ones you're talking about. And they had a two and a half.
They split the Rangers series 2-2, I think.
Yes.
Right? But they got smoked by the Red Sox.
So they had essentially a 2.5 to 3 week stretch where you had to make hay because then you were getting into this 2.5, 3 week stretch of Red Sox.
Well, it was Baltimore. Which is right there in front of you.
Or was. Yeah. It's a little further ahead now.
Right,
Red Sox, Boston, New York, Houston, meat of the shit, right? Yeah. Like you were in tough and you needed to have made hay, and they didn't. And now they're certainly not. Boston showed them clearly how far they needed to come. And can I take for 1 second to all of you who for even half a second were, how come they're wearing red, white, and blue star socks on Canada Day? Just shut your stupid fucking mouth, okay? You're not smart. It was league mandated that during July 4th week, everyone will partake in this. And you may have also noticed that on the 4th of July, Russ Martin, a Canadian, playing for a Canadian team, had no problem wearing league suggested red, white, and or striped socks that they were wearing on. It doesn't matter. It didn't mean anything. The Boston Red Sox did not roll into Toronto and lay a personal slight on Canada. And to any of you who tweeted me about it, and especially you, Mish, who had so much fun blocking, who once you had lost an argument just decided to sit back and go, please don't tell me what's not important. Yeah, I just told you what's not important and you're stupid and you're blocked. And that's how that goes.
I don't know what any of that just meant, but
you didn't see anyone up. Did you watch the Canada Day game?
Did they lose 13-1 in that game?
Something like that.
Okay, well, no.
So certainly I didn't watch all of it.
I rolled through and went, it's 13-1.
The Boston Red Sox had USA themed uniforms on July 4th week. Canada Day happens to fall on July 4th week, as you may.
And this just in for all you Canadian listeners. They don't care.
And it's not like they walked in with a maple leaf with the no smoking sign over it or something,
it's not
right?
That they hate you. They just don't think about you.
Right. Get over it.
We are one team in a huge business all runs south of the border.
I had an exchange with this Mish on Twitter who was pretty worked up about it.
You know what, Mish? I'm with you.
Oh, well, fuck you too. You're blocked. Here, let me shut your mic off.
No, like he's wanted to for 2 years.
Like I have several times. You just haven't noted.
It's true.
Yeah. So
or later gone in and edited me out.
So Mish is upset at the Red Sox. I go back to Mish and I said, it was league mandated, not the Red Sox decision. It's really not a big deal. And Mish responds with, don't tell me what's not a big deal. I'm offended by this. All I responded with was, I just thought you would like to have some facts about who was responsible for this before you took the wrong people to task. My mistake. Mish didn't like that either.
Okay, Mish, you know what? We've never met. We've had no exchanges on Twitter like you and Matt, which makes you guys 100% more intimate than you and I. We did an audio whiplash entitled Soft Cockery.
Yes.
When people lead off things by saying, that offends me.
Yeah.
Well, guess what?
Shut the fuck up, Mish.
You probably shouldn't be listening to this show.
And she probably doesn't anymore. Or he. I guess Mish is really it. It's hard to tell.
I think Mish is Asian.
I think Mish is a loser.
I think Mish is living in South Korea.
So.
Or North Korea.
This Pyongyang. Blue Jays team is exactly what they're showing. I think. And one
they
of
They are
these-
exactly what we thought they were. If you want to crown their asses. Crown their asses.
I'm sorry for all of those bleeding eardrums out there now.
It's okay. Matt will just edit it out later.
I may tone it down. I won't edit it completely.
Okay.
I thought a little while ago I put in a button that would have been perfect for this, but I forget what it was. Oh, yeah, the crack button. That's okay.
Who is on crack? Well, no. I was just trying to use tones that were more soothing
and
less offensive
to Mish.
No, to you.
Well, I'm always offended.
Another one of those that offends me or that hurts my feelings when you say these things.
Yeah. That's
true. Don't make it like I haven't heard that.
It's true. Please don't yell at me. This team so far, I mean, they could have popped over 500 one of the 9 times they've been up at that mark, but they're just an inconsistent lineup, which is, and the pitching hasn't been as good as we thought. Hap, since he's come back, has been very good.
Hap, since he's come back, has been better than before he left.
Right. Estrada has not been good. Stroman's been pretty good.
Since April 1st.
Sanchez has been injured and not contributing. Lariano has not been what we optimistically hoped.
He is what we thought. Well, whoever that was, ESPN or whoever that was, or baseball
prospectus.
Said Lariano will be the Jays' best pitcher.
Right.
Hey, that is a bold prediction, my friend.
Not a smart one, but a bold.
Yeah, they said bold. Right. I'm going to step right out here, and I'm going to unzip my fly.
Oh, no.
Yeah, exactly.
It got bitten off.
That's bold right there.
They're just not that good. They're not terrible, but they're not that good.
All right, and you know what? You just nicely summarized it, which means I'm going to revisit it.
All right.
We thought their pitching staff would be top of the AL probably in terms of
yep.
1 through 5.
Yep.
But right since last fall, through the wintertime, they needed to be better at playing small ball, better at moving runners over, more speed on the bases.
Well, today when they were up 5-0, they were 0-for-9 with runners in scoring position.
Yeah.
But that's your Blue Jays, up 5-0 on 3 home runs, but 0-for-9 with runners in scoring position.
And
that's your successful Blue
Jays. And see, whatever metric they're using now, and where they're saying, whatever they use, this is the slowest team in Major League Baseball.
Yep. Batista, slow. Martin, slow. Although not slow for a catcher, it turned out he was middle of the pack for
Tulowitzki.
Slow.
Slow. Justin
Kendrick
Smoke.
Morales, slow.
Oh,
luckily, Justin Smoke can just jog the bases most of the time. What the fuck has happened there? But
in a sideways move here, they were talking about yesterday, the Aaron Judge home run.
Yeah.
They were saying, and again, whatever they're using to measure speed of the ball leaving the bat.
Yes.
And distance traveled.
Exit velocity.
Is that what it's called?
The one off the bat. I don't know the distance traveled one.
So 119 miles per hour was what it was coming off of Aaron Judge's bat. And they're saying, you know, the distance traveled was 470, whatever it was.
So Jesus.
The three fastest balls coming off the bat this year.
All his.
All his.
Yeah. Well, dude's a fucking monster. Like,
well, this is, he's a, where does that guy come from? Like, what is this?
Yeah. No, honestly. And he's just hammering shit out of that bandbox. Well, anything in the AL East, right, is just
for sure
golf shit out.
Yeah. Welcome to home run hitter's paradise. And so to me, he's going to have 30 home runs.
Yep.
More than 30 home runs.
He just broke today while the Jays were busy trying to blow that game. Joe DiMaggio's rookie home run record. And he's broken it in fucking July. July.
They're halfway. They're at the 82 or 83 game mark.
That's right.
Man. And he's already hit.
Guy's a monster.
29 home runs, I think.
And the worst part about it is he appears to be a good fucking guy. And you hate that, especially when he's a Yankee and he's going to be killing you for the next 15 years. Like, there's all kinds of photos for his first trip to the Dome where he's playing catch with a kid out in right field.
I told you, I watched that thing on TV where he was in some park and he was interviewing people and he was asking them, you know, what do you think about that new Yankees left fielder, right fielder, Aaron Judge. And so and people are like, that Judge, he's good. And so,
you don't notice when the guy's interviewing you 6'10 or whatever.
It was funny because when the one guy, and he put his glasses on, he smiled and he's like, oh, shit. It's a space between the teeth. He goes, you and Michael Strahan, only two dudes with a big space between the teeth. Yeah, welcome to New York, man.
Yeah. No, he's a monster, and he will be killing the Blue Jays for the next decade or so.
Although, you know what? And just in a side note, watching that game the other night, the game the Jays lost, game one of that series.
Yeah.
And so again, more things. I can't remember who hit the Pillar. I think it was Pillar hit the ball, and Judge is running to his left. And he just fucking short arms it. He alligators arms it, and it goes off his glove, and it's a double.
Yeah.
And they call it a double. I'm like,
that's a fucking error,
that's
man.
That's an error. That's a two base error right there. And I said, if that's in the dome, well, who knows? In the dome, that may be a double too. I have no idea, right? But there's no way that that's a double.
Right.
That's an error. But when you look and go, okay, that's a Yankee who's vying for Rookie of the Year, likely MVP at this point, the Silver Slugger, all these sorts of, you know.
Well, I've been spoiled here for the last 2 weeks or so. On that entire road trip, they had Matt Devlin, Raptors play-by-play guy. He was doing it all. I like him. I think he does a good job. And then we had Dan Shulman for a week and a half or so, or about a week. And he has informed ESPN he will be leaving Sunday Night Baseball at the end of this season, which has opened up a bunch of questions about, you know, he wants to be closer to home.
Okay.
Wants to.
All right. And you know what? Just let's.
Well, because I was just going to say, having Buck back today and going, this one's got a chance to drop. And
get
fucking,
that ball!
But Gardner is jogging under it and makes a routine fucking waste catch that a chance to drop. No, it. Shut up.
It's got a chance to what? Drop in for a bloop single, Buck? Is that what you're asking me?
Honestly, like having Dan Shulman full time would be.
Okay. And, and so here's the thing. And just to segue back to the Alfredson thing, he just bought a home.
Hell of a segue.
Okay, but wait.
Yeah.
He's just bought a home here.
Yeah.
He's not leaving Ottawa, right? He's gone for the summer, which he has done every year. Gone back to Sweden.
Sweden.
Right, with his four kids. He wants his kids to get as much
supposedly
Swedish.
Beautiful in the summer.
What, 20 degrees? Doesn't get much warmer than that.
I could get in for that.
Big
fat guy
and
sweating.
Yes. So what they're saying is, and to me, what I get from it is, dude's made a pile of cash. He's still got kids between the ages of 6 and 15.
Right.
Right? It's quite a commitment. He spent the last 2 years doing everything in the organization. He's after practice working with young guys, working with injured guys. He's up doing, he's got input on player selection and all these things. He was at the draft with his two kids. He's, unless it's a Melnick issue, he's not leaving.
Haven't ruled that out.
Nobody ever does. Okay, but the reality is, I think he wants to spend more time with his family.
What
now
an
the
asshole.
Now the segue back to Dan Shulman, right?
Yep.
Who does college football or basketball?
Basketball, yeah. He does
Sunday
all
Night
of
Baseball.
March Madness, yeah.
And so he's saying, "I want to." He's got a new wife or a new marriage,
yes,
I think.
That's right.
And he's saying, "Yeah, you know what? I want to do less, be closer to Toronto, and just be, you know, a more at home, more centered, less on the road."
Yeah.
And so to me, yeah, that's if the end result of that is, Alfredson aside, if it's we get more Shulman,
yeah,
he's the best.
He is so good. Like, so good. Now, this will be less interesting to you, but for those of you who are GTA sports fans, and we know there's a lot of you,
yeah,
the talk here might not be that he's the next full-time Blue Jays play-by-play guy. Is he the replacement after 30 years of Bob McCowan on primetime sports where you don't travel at all? Right, you are now a nationwide radio host, 4 to 7 p.m. Started his career there as an intern.
Don't get me wrong. Bob McCowan is nationwide, as
sure.
he said.
Yeah.
And I'm not a big Bob McCowan fan.
Right.
I know you are.
I am.
But Shulman is varied in his knowledge base.
Yep.
To me, he brings absolute credibility. He'd probably bring great guests,
yep,
which I think is what McCowan has built up.
Yeah, he's got a hell of a portfolio at this point of contacts and whatever, right?
Right.
So
whereas
how
Dan
do you
Shulman
that?
Is
well,
a,
here's
is,
a guy maybe who can, right?
Right. Who has whether you, like I said, you talk about college sports.
Yep.
So his knowledge of both basketball and football.
He's a hockey guy. He knows his stuff too, just from growing up here, right?
Well, for sure, he loves it. Yeah.
Yeah,
when the World Juniors were being split between Montreal and Toronto,
yeah,
he's at all the games,
right,
with his kids. Yeah, he knows that.
Yeah, so you know that might be now selfishly.
Great voice though.
Yeah, for sure. I would, as a guy who spends most of his summer watching the Jays, I hope the job is the Jays job. But I mean, I won't be surprised, I won't be disappointed if he is the heir apparent to Bob McCowan on primetime sports. When you do that Blue Jays job, you don't travel as much because I guess you're no longer doing, you know, right now all he's given up is the Sunday night baseball thing and some of the midweek stuff that he does now and then. But he's keeping the March Madness job and the college basketball job. So that will keep him at home more than it did before. When you do the Blue Jays job, there's still a ton of travel in the summer with kind of 50-50, you're home and away, but then you have the whole winter off. The primetime sports job, you don't do any of the travel, but it is now a Monday to Friday job. So it'll be kind of an interesting thing to see how that plays out. But it looks like, you know, something's on the horizon, and either way, I'll be happy because that's a guy I'd like to hear more of.
True.
Let's move into your Toronto Maple Leafs. Start with, I think in order of importance, Dominic Moore, 1 year, $1 million, perfect. And everyone jumping up and down saying you can't replace Brian Boyle. No, you can replace broken Freddie Gauthier and Ben Smith. I thought it was Brendan Smith. Ben Smith. It is Ben Smith.
Brendan Smith is in the Rangers.
Yeah.
Ben Smith in the Ben Smith 5.
Yeah, terrible. Terrible.
He's in Toronto.
So he, for 1 year, $1 million at 37. He just does it. He does the same job. He doesn't have the same big frame, but he's a little quicker. He's going
to
win.
Well, I was surprised to see he's 36 or 37 years old.
Little quicker, wins defensive zone draws, kill you penalties. That's all he's brought in to do him for $1 million. If it's going that bad, bury him. But I think that's a good signing, right? Fourth line center. That's
well, I was surprised that the Leafs had their foray into free agency, how old they went.
Yeah. And that is a trend
37,
here.
37 or whatever it was, right? Like three guys.
Yeah. Hello, Lou. I think, right? Like the second one here, Ron Hainsey, a left-handed defenseman. Clearly they couldn't find a right-handed defenseman. Ron Hainsey played the right side all the way through his Pittsburgh playoff run.
Well, a right-handed shot is harder and harder to find all the time, right?
Right. An older guy, but 2 years at $3 million per. At a time where we've talked about this before, I've been saying it for a while, the Leafs for 2 years here have money to spend. I would have liked them to do something bigger, but this is a, you know, you could make an argument they overspent on Ron Hainsey, but if they did, it expires when it needs to expire, right? So,
see, to me, the fact that I think everything blue team is what's going to happen. To me, it's that next year, right? You have 2 years.
Yes.
Everything,
and that's becoming more and more evident that they see that too.
Everything outside of the, well, 2 years from now.
Yeah.
Right? So we're at 17, 18, 19. End of the 18-19 season.
Yeah.
That's where shit gets interesting. Right?
So worth keeping in mind, as you point out here, at the end of this next season, 17-18, if they want to, JVR, Bozak.
Eric Fair.
Leo Komarov.
Oh, Uncle Leo.
Dominic Moore. They have something like $20 million come off the cap just at the end of this next season.
Sorry, we mentioned, so Leupel's off.
Leupel is off, and that's a big one.
At the end of the
coming season, yes, yeah, 17-18. Exactly. 5-2-5 or something like that, yep, for him. And he's going to spend another hockey season enjoying like Coachella and music festivals around the world. And
fuck, I'd like to go to Coachella.
Man, guys, like, there is not a Leaf fan who can tell you what's wrong with Joffrey Leupel or like why he's on injured reserve. Okay.
And you know what?
I think
Marlowe joins Leupel.
There is so much of that. Let's get through.
In season three, yeah, he'll be on Leupel Island or wherever that is.
Training camp 2019. Hey, what happened to...
I have a skin issue.
Marlowe, Leo Lou Lamoriello will be like, Marlowe who?
Marlowe's with Hossa with that skin irritation.
All of a sudden, my finger's itchy, and I'll have a really good year of being... No, that's going to be really interesting. Hainsey to me, for what he is, for 2 years, for $3 million, he's a guy who's clearly comfortable playing on the right side, despite the way Babcock likes it. He can play in that. I think it shakes out And it's still not a great defense.
Yeah, the D is thin.
Yeah, it is. It really is. And so you're probably looking
at... And you know what? There's more money allocated to that with the whole Zaitsev or whatever it is.
Yeah.
With his signing, with Riley.
And both Riley and Gardner.
I think they have $20 million assigned to it with only...
Well, because they also just brought in a couple of Swedes, Borgman and Cali Rosen. Who,
yeah, but they're both
$1.5 million each, kind of thing. Yeah,
they're low. But I was surprised at how much money has been allocated to the Toronto Maple Leafs defense.
Poor D, yeah. I imagine you're looking at Jake Gardner with Zaitsev because that worked out better than Riley with Zaitsev. And then I think you could see Zaitsev, Hainsey with Riley. And that allows now both, because Hainsey's not an offensive guy. He's a stay-home guy. He's a defensive guy, and he's not going to put up a ton of points. He's not going to. What I'm more interested in is if they bring up Travis Dermott, who's their number one defensive prospect. He's a left-side guy.
I've heard a couple of people saying Travis Dermo.
Dermo? Yeah, no, you haven't. fucking guy. Would you put Hainsey with him and allow him to break in, do his thing?
No, man. No, you don't. And you load up your top four and you minimize the exposure that your 5-6 get.
Yeah. Well, that gets interesting because then it'll be, you know, I'm really afraid, knowing Lou, that he's going to be loyal to a very slow Roman Polak who left with a busted femur and is going to come back slower and we'll re-sign him. Like, he's a UFA, but I think Lou...
Yeah, well, yeah. All right. Okay, but
fuck. That's no good, right?
All right, but to me, that's a guy, if he comes back at the right number, you slot him down in the end, he brings a little stability.
Yeah.
He doesn't play major minutes.
No.
You keep him in that 10 to 12 range.
But he and Dermott 10 to don't 12 work. Minutes, it means you have to force Dermott minutes, back into the minors.
Minutes, that is.
Yes. So that's an interesting one, but let's get to the
meat
of it here.
Okay, yeah? But wait, before you get to the meat of it, how do you feel about the re-signing of both Sparks and McElhaney?
Great backup, ain't he?
He's not.
No, he is not. I for those of you that I did interact with on Canada Today on Twitter, you know I'm not happy with the McElhaney re-signing. I thought with the window that you have and how many guys took one-year deals – you needed to give for 2 years Steve Mason, Brian Elliott, Chad Johnson, somebody.
Well, Mason, if Mason's going to get 2.5 or 3 in.
Well, he got 4, I believe, in Winnipeg, and I'm not doing that.
That's crazy.
I believe Chad Johnson got 2.5. I would have done that for 2 years.
No way.
I'm giving Chad Johnson 2.5 to come and play 20 games. 2.5
per?
Yep.
No way. I think
he was good in Calgary.
Man. I think you let McElhaney get his 22 games, 25 games. Freddie Anderson
lose those games.
Well, if you play him against Ottawa, right. Whatever number of the games he they play against Ottawa, man, he looked like a Vezina winner. So,
yeah, but that's we do that. Our unknown goalies come into Ottawa, and Reimer got a 3-year deal off his games in Ottawa.
Yeah,
I think. Clearly, the way this is set up is that McElhaney is going to be bought out in year two and Garrett Sparks becomes your backup.
Right. So that's how you see this is Sparks, they're telling Sparks, you're going to be a Marley for one more year.
Yep.
And then.
But I think he redlines as an NHL backup, Sparks.
Yeah, okay. But there's teams that have those as starters. So. Yep.
No, it's true. What scares me, though, you should have gotten any of the guys I mentioned, or an Anders Nilsson, or a Lindback, or a whatever, because...
Well, Anders Nilsson, he's heading to the playoff hotbed.
Freddie Anderson has shown he has a soft head. And if he's going to miss some time,
I think Freddie Anderson's a bottom 10 starting goalie in the league.
Yeah, I would have said middle 10, but it's more a problem to me if he's going to be hurt for weeks at a time. All right, McElhaney can't start.
You and I are talking about 16 through 25 then. So I'm arguing the 20 through 25 part, and you're arguing the 16 through 20.
I don't know. Do you want to sit here and count them all?
No. Not at all.
Okay. If Freddie Anderson goes down, I think Sparks is coming up, and McElhaney's backing him up.
I'm thinking you guys are still trying to outscore
Yep.
Your defensive deficiencies and goaltending.
It's true. But I don't think Freddie Anderson is as bad as you do. That's all.
Okay. All right. But it sounds like we're not.
But McElhaney is.
It sounds like we're not too far off. Well, it sounds like I think McElhaney's better than you think McElhaney is.
I think that's.
So.
I think he. You won't remember this because you wouldn't have been watching, but.
True.
On Saturday night of the last Saturday of the season, the Leafs are going to play against Sunday, but they're trying to clinch a playoff spot against Pittsburgh. They're up by one with 30 seconds left, and he robs Crosby wide open. And I think that got him a fucking contract that I wish he didn't have, that one save. He was okay for us, and that's it.
To clinch a playoff spot?
Yep.
Give that man his money.
Bitch better have my money.
Bitch.
Yeah. So I don't love our backup situation when there were so many backup options out there. That's
all. But I think for the money they wanted to spend, you guys are right up against the cap.
Yeah, for now. We have some more mystery injuries to
come. Yeah, I was just going to say, come on, man. That shit. Somebody
we
should come down
million
and hamstring Lou. That's what should happen.
Yeah, that's why I can't get too indignant about the Hossa thing.
I was going to say, so you said you have $10 million in cap space?
Yes.
You're talking about Horton and Lupo money? Or
yep.
You talk, yeah.
Yep.
How about the $1.5 you're paying Kessel for the next?
Ever. Yes. Forever. We have a two-time Stanley Cup winner on our payroll, but he's
awesome,
not winning them
but
for
he's
us.
Exactly. Love that. Look at that fucker.
Yeah, that's out there for a long time still.
All right. You've been doing all the interacting. People have been chucking shit at you.
Well, it's either terrible or it's the greatest thing ever.
So let's get into this. What do you got? What do inquiring minds want to know?
The common belief seems to be that he will never play a game in that third season, and you alluded to it. But there's a bunch of things at play there. He has a no move. Which means
he's not going anywhere.
But that last season, he only makes 1.5. We pay him like a $6 million bonus on July 1st.
But you know what? We all know that the Maple Leafs don't care.
We don't care about money.
About money.
Right. They care about cap hit.
Cap hit.
So can we deal you to
what's
Phoenix?
His cap hit in game three? Well, in season three.
It's the same all 3 years, right?
This is it.
Yes.
Right?
That's
right. So to me, it doesn't matter unless you can get rid of him
the Leafs
with his no move.
For what he is at this age, like any signing on July 1st, the Leafs have overpaid.
All right.
They can afford to overpay right now in this two-year window. And if he pushes down in the lineup,
and he
Hyman
no,
or
I think,
Komarov.
I think he pushes down in the lineup.
That's what I mean. If he pushes down guys like Hyman or Komarov, that's good. If he's pushing down Connor Brown or Kasperi Kapanen, that's not good, right? Well, you have to be smart with.
And I was looking at projections where if you leave the top two lines and you put him in with Kadri and Komarov, I think is what I was looking at, right?
Yeah.
That's a rock solid third line.
It depends what you want to do. And he slates out with his numbers right now to be kind of a number five through number seven forward.
Well, I think it may have started with something you tweeted out, which was a retweet of, I don't know what it was, but it talked about him playing with Joel Ward.
Yes.
Right, that's where most of his
minutes last year. Yeah, everybody's like, yeah, but he was getting fat off Joe Thornton. He played 18% of his minutes with Joe Thornton.
No,
his minutes were with guys like Joel Ward and I believe Logan Couture, who's no slouch, Logan Couture. But there are people saying he'll get 30 with Nylander and Matthews, and I don't think that's happening either.
I think if you were able to, as a Leafs organization, leave those top two lines. Bolster your third line with a 50-point guy because he's sort of been between that 40 and 50.
That's right. That's what's going to happen there.
And so you've overpaid for that, which you have to.
Yep.
Which you have to. So to me, as I said to you, when you sent that to me and all you said was what it was worth, and now you said to me, and he comes off when Matthews needs more money. Yep. So I took that to be a two-year deal.
I was wrong. The first time I saw it was a two-year deal, and then I went,
Right.
That third year, could hurt.
And so
luckily there's going to be a lockout that year, so it won't matter.
And that's the deal, right? To me, if they could have got him 6.25 for 2 years,
I'd be jumping up and down.
Absolute grand slam because to me, what it does is he, in the same article or the same thing I was looking at, was indicating, you know, his assists versus goals. He's a self-starter in terms of his own point production. Yes,
that's right.
Right? In terms of shot blocked, his speed between the two blue lines. Awesome. Right?
So you, as an outsider, as a guy who would like to see this crash and burn.
For sure.
Would you, for 1 year, you still have Bozak and JVR. Would you now take this as Marleau is your JVR replacement and go back, and we've talked about this before, to shopping JVR? Or for 1 year, do you run this as, and maybe he doesn't belong here, but he's fast enough to keep up. So if you ran your lines as Marleau with Matthews and Nylander.
See, Marleau at 38 still has the wheels.
He can move.
Yeah.
So Marleau with Matthews and Nylander, still Bozak, JVR, and Marner, and then keep your checking slash still somewhat offensive line of Kadri, Brown, and Komarov together. All of those guys at some point in the last two seasons have averaged either 20 goals or 60 points. Do you take a run at it with that this year?
Yeah. No.
Is this the guy that replaces JVR? And now, because Marlowe's also quite good in his own end, and that Bozak line was not, and that's where Washington was just eating us alive, was whenever that Bozak line got on the ice with Marner and JVR, we were hemmed in. And Marleau is better than JVR in his own end. So could you leave Hyman with, you know, like it just...
Yeah. No, to me, I would like to see, I think you could spot make that change, right? In terms of Ottawa here, we have Boucher who puts the lines in a blender all the time.
Yeah.
Right? I think if you looked at...
I wouldn't mind seeing JVR with Matthews and Nylander either.
Well,
okay. And then Marleau down easy with Bozak.
I'm thinking if you just start to flip Marleau 1-3 in terms of the line combinations, right?
Well, I don't think I like Komarov up any higher.
No. Okay. I'm talking about moving Marleau.
Okay. But it sounds like into Komarov's spot. Or no, you're moving him into JVR's spot.
See, I have Komarov, Kadri, and Marleau as a line combination.
Yeah, that's kind of got... Oh, Marleau can play both sides, but like Komarov is a left. Marlowe's really a left. And
Yeah.
So you could do it.
But see, if you wanted to flip...
But if you're going to put...
Then you flip Marleau up onto that top line, right, on that left side.
Yeah, that's sort of what I'm looking at doing with Matthews.
But I'm saying you spot, and you do that in spot duty. And if it comes to a spot where you have teams like the Caps who are going to eat your lunch in terms of possession time.
Yeah. Well, but that's when you need to spread it out because Komarov's good.
Then you make that move, though.
Yeah.
Right? Maybe you put Marleau up for a little bit more help.
Yeah. Because you know what? Like, there was times last year when the Leafs were killing a penalty, if they killed it, which was an if, it got fun. Because at the end of that two-minute penalty, Matthews, Nylander, and Marner don't kill penalties, and Babcock would send the three of them out together because their top guns are all on the bench after having had the power play, and the line mates that these guys typically played with are all resting after the penalty kill, and he would send them three of them out together on an extended shift, which you never got to see as a Leaf fan except in that situation, and man, they would just buzz. So when you look at all these things mixed together, and to you, do you think, like to me, this has been, Leaf fans are kind of losing their minds here a little bit. Oh, it's so long. It's been a long time, and never in the cap era have Leaf fans worried about rentals, right? Okay. Have never worried about going for it. Have never been, it's so long. Oh, yeah, that's trying to win.
Right? And it's such a huge issue, right? And to me, the Leafs with these three signings, Dominic Moore, Ron Hainsey, and Patrick Marleau, the Leafs are a better team today, right? 17-18 is a better season.
Yep.
Because to me, they provide insulation.
That's right.
Especially Marleau.
Yep.
Right? You are asking for Bozak, Kadri, Van Riemsdyk, Nylander, Marner, and Matthews to all replicate what they did last year.
Yeah.
Right? Career years for everybody.
Yep.
And you're asking them to duplicate that or better it.
Yeah.
And so I don't like that happening. The chances of that happening.
Right. That's right.
Virtually nil. However, could three of them duplicate? Could four of them duplicate?
And this guy pick up a little of the slack, right?
And so you bring in that insulation and you allow a couple of those guys to sort of fall back, have a bit of a sophomore, and I'm sophomore for
yep.
three of those guys.
Yep.
And then for those other three guys, maybe not to replicate career seasons, Marlow brings in terms of the forward core.
You think 20, 25? Like he was 27 this year, goals.
I see him at 20 goals.
Yeah, I do too.
I don't see him in any fashion, in any of those top three Leaf lines. Offense wasn't the problem.
No,
they were
it
top
was
five. They were top five offensive team in
right.
the NHL.
Yep.
I don't see that changing, right? So I don't see Marlow taking a huge move the other way, right? For all the reasons we just mentioned,
right?
Skating, game instincts,
yep.
All
good
those
in his own end, which
right,
yeah.
And he provides his own transition, right?
Yep.
Like to me, that's what makes him such a good signing. The money, I'm totally happy with the money for 2 years.
Yeah, exactly. It's a gamble. That's exactly, and that's what it is. If you're gonna go for it, and you can argue all day.
This is the question.
Not that you have, but you can argue all day whether or not
this
is good enough to go for it. I think this is the time. I think for 2 years you have to.
It's ballsy.
Yeah,
and it shows to me. It shows,
but the fact that Marlow and Hainsey came to me shows that. Other players believe maybe they're close.
Well,
maybe
they. It shows to me that San Jose wasn't that yeah. interested in Marlow.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Okay.
You look at their commitment to Thornton.
$8 million.
1 year though.
But he's asking for that. He's going to replace Bozak here next year.
Oh. Okay.
Well, buckle up. You heard it here first.
So, but what happens is, and again, to double back to the beginning of our Leaf conversation.
The best conversation.
You guys have a pile of interesting options at the end of this season with guys who are UFAs.
Mm-hmm.
There's some RFAs in there.
So do you, though, and I'll put this to you as we start to wrap this up.
It's a great opportunity, okay, to remake yourself at the end of this year. You go, okay, you know what? We can totally walk away from all of you.
Yep. And you're going to have to walk
in terms
some.
Of Bozak,
yep.
Van Riemsdyk, and...
So, Komarov. We mentioned them all at the beginning.
Komarov, sorry, yeah. This is
if a couple of questions here as we wrap this up, but if and it's and now I, official,
and I'm going to throw about $7 million to Thornton, and he's going to come in, and we're going to take a cup run.
Yeah, it's going to be awesome. Connor McDavid is a $12.5 million player.
Yeah.
What is Austin Matthews?
Well, I really want to see. To me, I'm not going to say the 2 year window. I
right.
want to see what he does in year two.
Yep.
Now he's gonna have
because he's not Connor.
He's not Connor.
No one is Connor. Is he 10?
Yo, to me, if he slightly improves on what he did this year,
yeah.
he's a 10.
Right.
And he's a 10 because he's to me, he is probably he doesn't have near the offensive skills.
No.
The top end offensive skills that Connor has. I think he scored
10 more goals, but he's not flying and he's not creating for like he does. He creates, but Connor throws the whole fucking scale out of whack because he's just so much better than everyone else.
Right.
Like,
okay, I'm just gonna let you just
okay, but this is what I'm gonna say.
Jizz him all over the
at my and I'm gonna at my absolute most starry eyed. I love this kid this year.
It's too late, man. We've
never
already seen it.
I never saw him at 10 mil.
Oh, well,
okay,
buckle up.
Okay, hold on. Then Connor is talked about at 13.25. It comes down to 12.5. You look back, Matthews got 40 goals, which Connor didn't, but he didn't get close to the assists that Connor got. And you go, it's probably going to be in that neighborhood.
Draisaitl, right? Matthews. Let's talk that.
Yeah, and don't get me wrong. In no way am I trying to say Matthews should be making what Connor does or is he as good as...
No. Let's talk right now. At this thing, because who knows in 2 years
right.
when Matthews is out of his entry level.
I want them badly to sign him next summer long term, just like they did. Don't give me two more years to see what he might become.
And see, this is the deal, right?
Yeah.
When you look at Erik Karlsson, who has two more years at 6.5.
Bargain! Fuck yeah, man. I get it.
And that is that bridge contract where you go, hey, we're going to buy up some of your free agent years.
Yeah, before everyone knows how good you are. And that's Nylander, they can negotiate with this year. And he's not Matthews, obviously. But let's get him right now, if we can, at 6'5 or 7, before he goes and scores 40 goals this year and he wants 8 or 9.
Clearly this little potent mix that the Leafs have going for them right now.
Yeah.
Which is this, to me, they're B-grade forwards, Bozak, Van Riemsdyk, Kadri. Those guys are, they were there before.
Yep.
When this team wasn't a playoff team.
Yeah, but now they're pushed down and they look great in those roles.
This is what I'm saying, right? Yeah. And so you have those rookies, to me, who overachieved, maybe.
Could be.
And so you look at it and go, man, is there ever a better time as a player to go, hey.
Pay me.
I could use a raise.
From my $900,000 or whatever.
Well, and see, to me, the thing is, again, see my McDavid statement from a previous show and 2 years ago, I said the same thing about Matthews. So clearly.
Yeah, you're all over this.
Yeah. Is he was better as a rookie than I, he was 20%, 25% better than I thought.
McDavid.
Matthews.
Yeah, okay.
Right.
Well, scored 40 goals. One other guy did that. Right?
80 points. Did he end up with 80 points this year?
I don't remember. I don't think so.
North of 70?
Yeah.
Or was just north of 60?
40 goals. I don't remember the assist number, to be honest with you.
Let's call him 70 points.
He's got Zach Hyman's strapped to him.
Anyways,
you don't want
to pass
anyways, to that.
To me, again, I was pegging him in that 50.
Which 50, I'm pegging him.
50 as a rookie is is still good.
Yep.
And I'm not sure I saw him even there, right?
No, you were a line A guy.
Well, okay. And
he had a pretty good rookie year, too.
Man, honestly,
now his home opener is against the Leafs. Toronto will be there to watch him unveil his Calder Trophy runner-up banner.
One with a hat trick, one with a four-goal. Yeah. You know, it just, to me.
You and your hat trick. Get the fuck out of here with that
generic
shit.
Generic bullshit. What is that? But to me, I think he's obviously, and if you've, I don't think I'm breaking any news here, I think he's a cut above Nylander and Marner.
Yeah, probably. Yeah.
Right? His body composition.
Oh, your body.
But your bidet.
Your bidet. Winnipeg.
To me, he is. Whereas Marner and Nylander, man, their size concerns me. But
apparently Marner's already displeased, too. I didn't get the bonuses that Matthews did. Yeah, you're not fucking Matthews. Why don't you just chill out?
You want to be a first overall? Or you want to be a fourth overall?
Yeah.
Because we'll
deal you for fucking Drew Doughty and carry on with fucking Nylander and Matthews and be just fine.
Hey, how are those blue goggles over there?
Oh, they're great, man.
I'm going to trade Marner for Doughty.
Well, maybe not straight up.
Okay.
They'll give us something else with them.
Why don't you trade dirty old Lou with them?
Yeah, that'd be all right, actually, I think.
For sure.
He does
maximize his bitch right now.
All right.
So to me, as we approach the end of this, I like what the Leafs have done. And to me, they've moved themselves into top three in the division.
I think they're a solid, if everybody's healthy, which is the qualifier for every team, I think they're second in the division.
Okay.
Tampa's still a better.
Sorry, my top three.
You still got Ottawa ahead of them?
No. No, I have Ottawa outside the playoffs this year. Oof. But we can get into all that. We'll wait and see how the summer plays out. But I see them as, they've made.
I think Tampa's going to be fucking scary this year with everybody back and healthy and taking a run.
And to me, the difference there is there's a bunch of things, but Stamkos' health.
Yep.
If he's healthy and he's good to go.
Yep.
Hey, man, who brought the 50 goal scorer in?
Where the fuck did this guy come from?
This is it. Hey, and now before we depart hockey and this show is done, right? We're done with the Leafs?
Yeah.
Fuck the Leafs, man. I hate the Leafs.
He's jealous.
Really?
A little.
Yeah,
He's a little jealous.
Well, right now.
All the Sens fans, and there were plenty of you out there jumping up and down on Twitter saying, the fucking Leafs are blowing it, losing it. Patrick Marleau would have led your team in goals this year, so why don't you just settle down?
Well, who's saying the Leafs?
Yeah.
Okay, well, you know what?
Every fan base has retards, and I was staring at a few of them.
For sure. There's just because your population is huge, you have more retards.
Yeah, okay.
I'm true.
There's two of them on these fucking mics right
now. Yeah.
At least one over there.
Okay, and what I wanted to touch on before we leave here, which is Ilya
Kovalchuk. I think the Devils blew it.
Man, the Devils blew it. And that's okay, you've
I've scooped them.
To me, that's it. Dude goes, okay, you know what? I'll take a year's worth of money in a bag.
Of rubles.
Yeah.
I'll probably win an Olympic gold.
Nothing, exactly. And I'll come back as a complete unrestricted UFA next year.
Fourth round pick jersey.
Or what? I bet you they could have done better than that.
I'm sure they could have, but we're not going to budge.
How about a couple seconds?
Yeah. No, we're going to. Yeah, well, then you'll get nothing next year. Well done.
Do not pay that man his money. And so to me, yeah. Kovalchuk goes another year. Now,
he'll make a butt ton.
Yeah, if I was to ask,
and he'll beat a Mike Richards captained Canadian Olympic team in Korea next year.
Do you think he could have done better for LA than Mike Camilleri with their signing there?
You did nothing in LA. Mike Camilleri, $1 million, I believe.
Terrible. Like, is he playing in your bottom six? Your team is getting butt fucked.
Dustin Brown is what's causing everybody to be. You got to bring Mike Camilleri in. I'll take him today over Dustin Brown, but Brown's going to make five times.
Within 25 goals, how many NHL goals does Ilya Kovalchuk have?
450.
Oh. The actual question I heard this morning was within 50. Hmm. And Rob said, 450.
All right. Were we both wrong?
Well, if it was as it was this morning, within 50, you are right. If it's within 25, you are wrong. I tightened it up because you're smarter than that. That question
I am not.
To people who are, you know.
In the shower, phoning in to Tigor.
418, man. Yeah. 418 NHL goals.
Yeah. He's a good player.
Man, and he's been gone for 4 or 5 years, whatever it is.
Before they signed Marleau, I thought the Leafs should have interest.
Sweet fuck, man. That guy, if he was here for a while, he'd be knocking on the door of 700 goals.
A lot like Jágr, right? When you look at his numbers, who did have, for those of you keeping track, at like a decade older probably, had the same number of points as Marleau last year, and no one has called Jaromír Jágr. Did you see that tweet?
No.
Jaromír Jágr posts a tweet and goes, 1997 when I'm a free agent, everybody calls. 2017, no calls.
Well, and I got 2,000 yeah. points.
What do you want?
Well, and he had what, 48 points last year?
Yep.
Man, to me, I don't get why somebody's not taking a run at that guy.
Yeah. No, I think part of it is.
Do you think it's money? Do you think it's money that's scaring people away with him?
No, I don't, because I don't think he's looking to make a ton.
You think he's paid the IRA off? You think
probably at this, the IRA or the IRS.
Oh, sorry, yeah. Didn't sound right.
That's very different, man.
Didn't sound right. I'm like, wait, no.
Well, you got to pay off those Irish. Yeah. No, I think I've heard some talk that there were some Canadian teams interested, and at this point in his career, he's got no interest in that. He's happy to. Maybe I'll play in Vegas. Maybe I'll play in Arizona, back to Florida, whatever.
Well, really, man? How about going to Edmonton for a couple mil?
That'd be fun, eh?
Like just saying, you know what? I'm going to go to Edmonton and I'm gonna take $2 million.
Third line.
This is it, man.
Yeah.
I'll play power play time.
I'll play second line with Draisaitl, maybe.
Yeah.
Honestly. Don't hate it. Played with Barkov. Played with Huberdeau. Some of those young guys.
I can kill it. Well, and he likes that, apparently.
Yeah. Anyway, no, that's interesting, man.
If you look at the unrestricted guys who have left, it's Fisher, it's Jágr, it's Markov, it's all old guys, right?
Yeah.
It's all these guys over.
Toronto's the only one giving them 3-year deals at 625.
Yeah, well, but Marleau to me is head and shoulders above any guys on that list.
Well, like I said, same amount of points as Jágr last season.
Yeah, but Jágr is a red line in guy.
Yes, for sure.
Marleau has that 200-foot game.
Yep.
And I like that better.
For sure.
I think it's way more money than you'd have to pay.
Yep. No, and I'll never deny that. They overpaid. The third year is scary, but if you're going for it, and it looks like they are, that's what it costs.
So you've thrown it down. I say they're a playoff team.
Well, yeah, I think so.
But I think we both agree, right? I think the Atlantic, we have lots of time to break that down.
At nauseam.
The Atlantic gets weaker, Metro gets stronger.
Yep.
Right. I think only three Atlantic teams make it.
This fucking guy jumping on my
phone. No. You said that. You sent that to me in a text, and I agree with you.
Right? The Metro got stronger, and sure they did.
All right.
And we
can talk about that because I'm not sure I agree 100% with that statement.
And we will have plenty of time to get into it.
Columbus has gotten stronger.
Who is your – you have Ottawa out. You said Toronto's moved themselves into top three in the division. Who is your third? Because to me, Montreal has fallen way down.
Yeah. Well,
Boston has Bergeron and Marchand and Rask, who will have something to say about.
No, to me, Ottawa's in that 3-4 talk.
Yeah, okay.
But to me, we'll see.
It's the same. To me, Ottawa and Montreal are very similar, only in the sense of, if they didn't have Carlson or Price, but they do have Carlson or Price, so it doesn't really matter,
If you have
right?
a top, if you have a top
5, 10
player in the world,
right,
you're in the talk.
That's right.
And Ottawa plays a playoff-style game all the time.
Fucking Boucher.
Yeah.
He's a playoff-style game and a game that makes you... In defense of Sens fans, not want to buy a ticket because it's going to be dull as shit.
Nah, it's the owner.
Yeah, I don't like him either.
All right.
That's Talk and Sports.
See ya.
Well, this one's empty. For more, visit TallCanAudio.com or find us on Twitter and Facebook at TallCanAudio.